Learning from the Chosen One, A Simple Story by Anonymous. There was this guy named John who was sent by God. He was dunking people in a river out in the desert and announcing that people should be sorry and be dunked, for people's true wrongs to be forgiven. And lots of people were going to him and being dunked by him in the river, confessing their true wrongs. Some people asked John, "Who are you?" He said, "I'm not the chosen one." And he said, "I'm the voice of someone shouting in the desert, 'Make way for the boss.'" The next day, he saw the chosen one coming toward him and said, "Look, God's Lamb who takes away the world's true wrongs." And he also said, "This is God's Son." Later, the Chosen One said, "God didn't send his Son into the world so he would punish the world, but so the world would be saved by him." The One and his followers went to the town of Capernaum, and he went into the religious meeting place and taught the people there. And they were amazed at his lessons. And there was a guy there who was possessed by a demon. And the possessed guy suddenly started shouting at him, and the chosen one told him, "Be quiet and come out of him." The demonic spirit had a fit, and then it left him, and the guy was calm. Everyone was completely amazed. Pretty soon, God's Son was famous. He and his followers went to this one house, where a woman was in bed, sick with a fever. He went to her, took her hand, helped her up, and the fever went away, and she started fixing a meal for them. By that evening, they were bringing him everyone around who was sick and who was possessed by a demon, and the whole city was at the door. And he healed a lot of sick people, and he threw a lot of demons out of possessed people. He often said to crowds of people, "Be sorry, because the sky nation ruled by a king is close by." To some religious tradition followers and professional religion teachers, he said, "I didn't come to invite people who are always doing the right thing, but to invite people who do wrong, invite them to being sorry." Another time, his students were gathered around him, and he said, "The ones who know they're spiritually poor are made happy because they have the Sky Nation ruled by a king. The ones who cry and let it out are made happy because they will be comforted. The ones who are teachable are made happy because they will inherit the land. The ones who are hungry and thirsty for true rightness are made happy because they will be filled. The ones who treat others better than what they deserve are made happy because they will be treated better than what they deserve. The ones who are fresh and clean on the inside are made happy because they will see God. The ones who make peace are made happy because they will be called God's sons and daughters. The ones who are put down or beat down because of true rightness are made happy because they have the Sky Nation ruled by a king." The chosen one said, "If you're offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First, go and be on good terms again with your brother or sister. Then come back and offer your gift." He also said, "If someone hits you on your right cheek, turn to that person the other too. If someone wants to sue you and take your shirt, give that person your coat too. If someone conscripts you 1 mile, go with that person 2 miles. Give to the the one who asks. He said, when you give to a poor person, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving to a poor person will be done secretly. He said, and when you guys pray, don't be like the hypocrites, because they love to pray standing in the religious meeting places and on street corners so that they seem shiny to people. In fact, I'm telling you, they've gotten their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room and, having closed the door, pray to your dad who is in secret, and your dad, who sees what's done secretly, will reward you. He said, your dad knows what you need before you ask him. So pray like this. Our dad in the dimension of heaven, let your name be regarded as sacred. Let your kingdom come. Let what you want to have happen be done on the ground like it is in the dimension of heaven. Give us basic food today. And forgive us for what we should pay for, like we forgive others for what they should pay for. And don't lead us into a test, but save us from evil. He said, no one is able to work for two bosses. Either he will hate one and love the other, or else be devoted to one and despise the other. You are not able to work for God and wealth. He said, first, go for his nation ruled by a king and his true rightness. And all these things will be given to you. He said, why do you see the speck in your brother or sister's eye, but you don't think carefully about the log in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother or sister, let me take the speck out of your eye, while the log is in your own eye? Hypocrite, first take the log out of your eye, and then you'll see clearly to take the speck out of your brother or sister's eye. And he said, do toward others like you'd want them to do toward you. He said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will go into the sky nation ruled by a king, but only the person who does what my dad wants, my dad in the dimension of heaven. Another time, he said, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. He said, if your brother or sister does something truly wrong, tell them what they did that was truly wrong. And if that person is sorry, forgive that person. He also said, unless you change and become like little kids, you'll never go into the sky nation ruled by a king. And another time, the one said, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his dad and mom, his wife and kids, his brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my student. And he said, whoever among you who does not abandon all his possessions cannot be my student. The chosen one told his students, sell your possessions and give the money to poor people. When he was on the beach of the sea, he said to a huge crowd, listen, see, this farmer went out to plant grain, scattering the kernels. And what happened was, in scattering them, some landed by the road, and the birds came and ate it all up. And other kernels landed on rocky ground where it didn't have much dirt. And right away it sprouted, because it didn't have deep dirt. And after the sun came up, it was scorched. And because it didn't have roots, it withered. Other kernels landed in some weeds. And the weeds came up and choked the new shoots, and they didn't produce any grain. Other kernels landed on the good soil. And they produced more kernels of grain, growing and going up, and produced a crop. Some 30 times, some 60 times, some 100 times what was planted. Later, he was alone with some of his students, and they asked him about this story. He told them, "The farmer planting grain scatters the word. And here are the ones by the road where the word is planted. Whenever they might hear it, right away Satan comes and he takes away the word that's been scattered inside them. And similarly, here are the ones that are scattered on rocky ground. Whenever they might hear the word, they happily take it in right away, but there aren't any roots in them. And they exist just for a little while. Then they're hassled or put down or beat down because of the word, and they're tripped up right away. And here are the ones that are scattered in the weeds. They're the ones who hear the word, and the worries of this life, and the deceptiveness of wealth, and the wanting of other things, come in and choke the word so that it doesn't produce any more grain. And here are the ones that have been scattered on the good soil. The people who hear the word take it in and produce more kernels of grain. One 30 times, another 60, and another 100 times what was planted. Another time, the chosen one said, "When you're invited, go and take the lowest place." And on a different occasion, he said, "Eat what is set in front of you." One time, he told people, "Don't work for the food that spoils, but the food that stays into eternal life." And he said to them, "I'm the bread of life. The one who comes to me won't go hungry, and the one trusting in me won't be thirsty ever." He told them, in fact, I'm telling you guys, unless you eat the Son of Man's flesh and drink his blood, you don't have any life in you. And he said, "My flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink." He said, "Does this offend you? Then what if you were to watch the Son of Man going up to where he was before? It's the Spirit that gives life. The flesh is useless. The words that I've spoken to you are Spirit and are life." At this point, a lot of his students turned their backs on him and didn't go around with him anymore. Then he said to his group of 12, "Don't you guys want to go away too?" Simon the Rock answered him, "Boss, who will we go to? You have the words of eternal life." Later, the chosen one said, "My teaching isn't mine, but the one who sent me. Anyone who wants to do what that one wants will know whether the teaching is from God or whether I'm speaking on my own." During a festival in the city of Jerusalem, he got up and talked to the people there. Some of them were saying, "This guy really is the sacred speaker." Other people were saying, "This guy is the chosen one." Some of them were wanting to arrest him, but no one laid a hand on him. Then the temple police went back to the head priests and religious tradition followers, who said to them, "Why didn't you bring him?" The temple police said, "No one has ever talked like this guy." The one said to the Jewish people who had trusted him, "If you guys stay in my teachings, you're really my students, and you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They said, "We are Abraham's descendants and haven't ever been slaves to anyone. How can you say you'll be set free?" He said to them, In fact, I'm telling you that everyone doing truly wrong is a slave to what's truly wrong." Later, he said, "I'm the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me, just like the dad knows me, and I know the dad, and I sacrifice my life for the sheep, and I have other sheep that aren't from this sheep pen, and I have to bring them too, and they'll listen to my voice, and they'll become one flock, one shepherd. This is why the dad loves me, because I sacrifice my life so that I take it back again. No one takes it away from me, but I sacrifice it willingly. I have the authority to sacrifice it, and I have the authority to take it back again. Again, the Jewish people were split in their opinions about him because of these words. A lot of them were saying, he's demon-possessed and crazy. Other people were saying, these aren't the words of someone who's demon-possessed. Another time, he was in Jerusalem, walking in the temple. Then the Jewish people crowded around him and said to him, how long are you going to keep us in suspense? If you're the chosen one, come right out and tell us. He said, I told you guys, and you don't trust. The things I do in my dad's name testify about me. But you don't trust because you aren't part of my flock of sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they'll never be destroyed, and no one will grab them out of my hand. My dad, who has given them to me, is greater than anyone or anything, and no one can grab them out of the dad's hand. The dad and I are one. Again, the Jewish people picked up rocks to stone him to death. The chosen one said to them, I showed you a lot of good deeds from the dad. Which one of these are you going to stone me to death for? The Jewish people said, we aren't stoning you to death for any good deeds, but for offending God, because you, a human, are making yourself God. He said to them, if I don't do what my dad does, don't trust me. But if I do them, even though you don't trust me, trust what's been done, so that you know and keep on knowing that the dad is in me, and I'm in the dad. Then they tried again to arrest him, but he escaped them trying to grab him. There was a guy who was sick, named Lazarus of Bethany, and he died. When the chosen one got there, Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. He came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone covering was lying against it. He said, take the stone covering away. Martha, the dead guy's sister, said to him, sir, he stinks now because he's been dead for 4 days. The chosen one said, didn't I tell you that if you trusted, you'd see God's glory? They took the stone covering away, and the one looked upward and prayed. Then he shouted loudly, Lazarus, come out. The dead guy came out, his hands and feet wrapped up in strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. The one said to him, unwrap him and let him go. So a lot of the Jewish people who saw what the chosen one did trusted him. But some of them went to the religious tradition followers and told them what he did. So the head priests and the religious tradition followers called a meeting of the council and said, what'll we do? This guy's doing a lot of miracles. If we let him keep doing this, everyone will trust him, and the Romans will come and destroy both our holy place and our nation. But one of them, Caiaphas, who was the high priest, said to them, you guys don't know anything. You don't understand that it's better for you if one man dies for the people instead of the whole nation getting destroyed. So, from that day on, they planned to kill him. The chosen one asked his students, who do you guys say I am? Simon the Rock answered him by saying, you're the chosen one. And the chosen one said, this is the rock that I'll build my gathering on. It was almost time for the Jewish Passover festival, and a lot of people went up from the country to Jerusalem. They were keeping an eye out for him and asking each other while they were standing in the temple, what do you think? He definitely won't come to the festival, will he? The head priests and religious tradition followers had given orders that if anyone knew where he was, they had to report it so they could arrest him. 6 days before the festival, God's son was at a dinner party, and Lazarus' sister Mary took a pound of expensive perfume, poured it on the chosen one's feet, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. Later, at one point, he said, "Dead people get resurrected." He also said, "He is not the God of dead people, but the God of living people, because to him, everyone is alive." When the Chosen One was in the temple in Jerusalem, he said to everyone there, "Watch out for the professional religion teachers who like to walk around in long robes and like people to say hello to them in the markets and like the front row seats in the religious meeting places and like the places at the head of the table at dinners, who devour widows' houses and make a show out of saying long prayers. These people will get the worst punishment." In the temple, he also said, "I hope you're sad, you professional religion teachers and religious tradition followers, hypocrites, because you guys give a 10% tithe of even your mint, dill, and cumin plants, and you don't pay any attention to the more important parts of the law, justice, mercy, and trust. It's these that you should have practiced without skipping the other parts. You blind guides. You strain out a gnat, but you swallow a camel. I hope you're sad, you professional religion teachers and religious tradition followers, hypocrites, because you guys clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they're full of greed and excess. You blind religious tradition follower, first clean what's inside the cup, so the outside will be clean too. I hope you're sad, you professional religion teachers and religious tradition followers, hypocrites, because you're like whitewashed tombs, which do in fact look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside are full of dead people's bones and everything that's dirty. Like that, you too look like you're right with God on the outside, but on the inside you're full of pretending and lawlessness." Later, the Chosen One said, "It's time for the Son of Man to be given glory. In fact, I'm telling you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces a lot of seeds." A lot of people, even a lot of the leaders, trusted him. But because of the religious tradition followers, they didn't admit it out loud so that they wouldn't get kicked out of the religious meeting places. In public, he shouted, "Whoever trusts me doesn't trust me, but the one who sent me. And whoever sees me sees the one who sent me." He also said, "The Dad himself who sent me has told me what to say and what to speak." Later, when he was alone with some of his students, he told them, "Be careful so that someone doesn't trick you. Lots of people will come in my name, saying, 'I am him,' and will trick lots of people." And he said, "If anyone says to you then, 'Look, here's the Chosen One,' or 'Look, he's over there,' don't trust it, because fake Chosen Ones and fake prophets will get up and perform miraculous signs and awesome things." He also said, "After those terrible days are over, the sun will be made dark, the moon won't shine, the stars will fall down from the sky, and the sky's powers will be shaken up. Then everyone will see the Son of Man get here on the clouds with awesome power and glory." And he said, "Like lightning comes from the east and flashes even to the west, when the Son of Man comes, it will be like that." He also said, "But no one knows the day or time these things will happen. Not even the messengers in the dimension of heaven or the Son himself. Only the Dad knows." When he was alone with his group of 12 guys at dinner, he said, "In fact, I'm telling you, that one of you will betray me." They looked at each other, wondering who he was talking about. At one point, Jude, the son of Simon Iscariot, got up and left. The Chosen One said to them, "I'm giving you a new command, that you love each other, just like I loved you, that you also love each other." He said, "Trust God. Trust me too. In my dad's house, there are a lot of rooms to stay in. If that weren't the case, would I have told you that I'm going there to get a place ready for you? And if I go and get a place ready for you, I'll come back and get you, so that where I am, you'll be too. And you know the way to where I'm going." Thomas said to him, "Boss, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way?" He answered him by saying, "I am the way." He also said, "Whoever is trusting me, what I do, that person will do too. And that person will do things that are more awesome than these things." He said, "If you love me, you'll hold on to my commands. And I'll ask the Dad, and he'll give you another encourager to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth." And he said, "The encourager, the unique Spirit, who the Dad will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of everything I said to you." And he said, "If you hold on to my commands, you'll make your home in my love." He said, "This is my command, that you guys love each other just like I loved you. No one has greater love than this, that he sacrifice his life for his friends. You're my friends if you do what I tell you." He also said, "If the world hates you, know that it's hated me before it's hated you." And he said, "I came from the Dad and have come into the world. Again, I'm leaving the world and going to the Dad." He went out with his students to a place where there was a garden. Jude, the one betraying him, knew the place. So Jude brought a squad of soldiers and a bunch of police from the head priests and religious tradition followers, and they came there with torches and lamps and weapons. The squad of soldiers, their leader, and the Jewish police arrested the Chosen One. First they took him to the high priest, Caiaphas. Then they took him to the Roman governor, whose name was Pontius Pilatus. Pilatus eventually caved in and let them execute him by nailing him to a cross. So they took the Chosen One out and nailed him to a cross. He was on that cross for hours. Then he said, "It's done." And he died. One of the soldiers took his spear and stabbed him in the side, and right away blood and water came out. Joseph of Arimathea went and got his body, and there was a garden close by where there was a new tomb that no one had ever been put in. They put the one in it. Days later, Magdalene Mary came to the tomb, and she saw that the stone covering had been taken away from the tomb. Then she ran to some of his students and said, "They took the boss away from the tomb, and we don't know where they put him." That evening, the students were in this one house with the doors locked, and the Chosen One came and stood right in the middle of them and said, "May peace be with you guys." And he showed them his hands and his side. Then the students were celebrating. He said to them again, "May peace be with you guys. Just like the Dad has sent me, I'm sending you too." And he said, "Receive the unique Spirit." And he told them, "Go and turn people into students." And he said, "This is what is written. The Chosen One would suffer and be resurrected on the third day, and in his name, people would tell others about being sorry and being forgiven for true wrongs." Jesus of Nazareth is the chosen one. Thanks for listening to me.